In our house, there's a meal that we eat when we're in a hurry. I don't know if you have a similar meal, but in our house, it's called chicken ding. And chicken because, well, it's made of chicken, yep. And ding because that's the noise the microwave makes when it's ready, chicken ding. We're often surrounded by things that make us wait until they beep and flash and ping and ding at us. And when we have to wait like this, we can feel frustrated or anxious or impatient. You know that little, the buffering graphic on your computer screen? We call it the wheel of doom in our house that tells us a page is loading or not loading. Or the countdown to the arrival of the next bus. Or the payday notification on your banking app, which never seems to come soon enough. Beep, flash, ping, ding. Even the little men in the traffic lights tell us when to stop and when to go and when to wait and how to get it right. Walk on the green light. Now, Jesus' disciples came together with him before he was taken up to heaven. And that's the portion of the reading that we heard this morning. It's like a waiting time, a pause. And they ask him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? They want to know how their world will change because of all that's happened with Jesus. But Jesus doesn't give them any easy answers. He doesn't really say how long this is all going to go on. They're not sure when the kingdom will come. And so what do they do? Have a look at the Acts passage. What do? They turn to prayer. Wholeheartedly, 24/7, away from anxiety or distractions, men and women in community together, the disciples let anxiety subside and something deeper emerges. Maybe they've learned something from watching Jesus himself wait in the time before his arrest and death. They're no longer trying to be busy or to reach a goal. They just have their hearts fixed on God. Now, if we're always busy or always anxious or always waiting for the next thing to happen, then we can miss how God is working around us. But if we wait like Jesus waits, then we will see that there is nowhere where God is not. And if we can stay close to God in prayer like this, then we might also start to see what really, really matters. We might stop sweating the small stuff and work out what God wants us actually to be impatient about. And Jesus showed us how to do that when he prayed for the world. John's gospel tells us that he poured out his heart to God and carried with him his love for his people. He taught us to come to the wide open arms of God, like the actions in the action song. There were some wide open arms in there, with the needs of the whole world on our hearts. And when he died on the cross, he taught us how to turn prayer into love. Do you notice what the early morning looks like on your own street? How the sunlight or the mist just hangs over the street on some days? Do you notice the proud smile that your nan gives you when she slips a tenner in your coat pocket? Do you notice your friend's thankful face when you've spent time listening to them, when you've just known something is wrong and that they really needed to unburden themselves, and you've been able to sit by them and really, truly listen? Look up, look around, see the grace of God in ordinary things. And although sometimes all of those pings and dings that appear on my mobile phone, they can remind us of our connection with each other, which is a good thing, it's actually God who we really need to be connected to. Jesus showed us that when he prayed to God for the whole world. Have a look at that passage from John's Gospel. He poured out his heart to God, and he carried with him his love for the world. He showed us that prayer brings us into the wide open arms of God, allows us to carry the needs of the people with us, and it enables us to see God all around us. And now I'm no longer in the world, Jesus said, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus' life shows us what a human life looks like when it's utterly given over to God. He confronted evil, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he ate with sinners, and he forgave all their sins. He preached blessing on the poor and woe to the rich. He put politicians in their place, and he gave us a new vision of the kingdom of heaven. He died for us, and he was raised again. And he could do all of this because he was one with God in prayer and in action. Today, on their baptism and confirmation day, our candidates are choosing to be part of a community that casts out what's wrong and hurtful, a community that shows God's healing love in the ways that it cares for other people and brings blessing to those who have little. And it demands justice for those, well, it demands restitution from those who have too much and justice for those who aren't given enough. And our baptism candidates are making their promises today, and our confirmation candidates are confirming their faith by saying for themselves that were made when they were little as children on their behalf. But all of them are committing to being part of a community that eats together and that invites everybody to the table like Jesus did before he died. They're choosing to wait patiently and to notice God around them. They're coming to God like Jesus did, and they're carrying the needs of the world with them in prayer. And there's no need in that waiting to be impatient or anxious. God is with us. We can cry out to God for the needs of our world, for peace, for justice, for an end to violence and racism and greed and poverty. We can praise and adore him. And we can do all of this because we are one together with Christ, young and old, of every background. No beeps, no flashes, no pings, no dings, no anxious waiting. Just prayer, just God. Amen.